What does life expect of us? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Mathilde Frey, professor of Old Testament at Walla Walla University in the School of Theology. I'm your host and study guide author. We continue our series on present truth in Deuteronomy. My conversation partners are again Jody Washburn, professor of Old Testament in the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Alden Thompson, emeritus professor of Old Testament from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. What does life expect of us? Is that a question that we usually ask?
Who is life?
Yeah, I read that and I think, what does it mean to embrace life? It makes me think of Elie Wiesel wrote some very stirring and sobering and kind of words of call to people. And one of his thoughts that comes to mind when I think of this question is, he says the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference. Huh. I mean, going, you know, that kind of goes along with that idea of the soft heart that can be written on by God. That's where life is, versus the hardening that is so easy, especially you have in this lesson, you know, these quotes from Holocaust survivors. It's so easy, right, to have a hardened heart.
Usually we go about trying to find out what is the meaning of my life and the idea what can I get out of it. And this part here from Viktor Frankl, who has written this famous book, Man's Search for Meaning, after he came out from the concentration camps, and then looks for that question about meaning and life, that goes deep to the heart of somebody who has gone through such tragedy in life.
But if I remember the book correctly, those who had a goal, a meaning, yes, they are the ones that survived. Mm-hmm. The ones who didn't have anything to look forward to simply didn't make it.
Mm-hmm. So even in the hardest situations, there was something that kept them going. And when you are able to see that and recognize that, find that in that sense, that is what I also remember from the book. Yes. And yet then, on the other side, there is the question, what do I do with this life? Am I in the place where I respond to it? And how do I respond to it? And the book of Deuteronomy, in this lesson, puts us into this place where we are to choose, to make that choice, life and death. And to choose life is the call, choose life.
And there is kind of a distant parallel between the Exodus from Egypt and the Holocaust. You know, Israel was delivered. What does that mean? See? And if I could pick a word that I would like to characterize my life, my emotional perspective, it would be the word gratitude. Mm-hmm. Gratefulness for what God has done.
There is a beautiful book that's come out in the last few years by Edith Eva Eggers. She's a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor who lives here in the U.S. and still practices psychology. And it's so fascinating to listen to her story. It has many echoes of Viktor Frankl's work. And she actually titles her book The Choice. And she chronicles her own journey of making sense of some of these questions. And it's just, I mean, she talks about freedom as an opening of our hearts. And she says, this is the purpose of it, is to discover the miracles that exist now. In other words, I understand that phrase, right, as a another way to say gratitude, to paying attention to the gifts that are like right in front of us.
So life versus death. The book will end with Moses dying up on that mountain, right? And before that, he places this before the people as like this very contrast, and calls them to choose life. Is it always possible to do that, to choose? Is everybody in that position that you can say, I was able to choose? Are there times when choice is not even there for some people?
Well, those of us who have been blessed with life and health often don't know what to do with people who seem to have no choice, who are just kind of victims. And I don't know what we can say that would be helpful for people like that. It's a very troubling situation.
Yeah, there's a certain powerlessness, I think, I hear you saying, Alden.
Yeah.
And we're uncomfortable with that powerlessness. But I think also of, you know how we said a few weeks ago that Deuteronomy is framed as a speech, which means it's framed as being tied to a certain geographical place and a group of people and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense in which when you read Viktor Frankl's work, right, and all of that emphasis on the one thing that no one ever can take away from you is your choice of how you will engage or respond to the thing that's right in front of you, not tomorrow, not 5 minutes down the road, right in front of you. No one can take that away. You know, and I think that had such incredible healing power. For the people who had to find a way through. But that's not the whole picture, right? Like I think what I hear you saying, Matilda, is that we know now there are so many things, even intergenerational things, that impact us and our health and our choices and our way of being in the world, that really many of them are far beyond our control. And so there must be a time, right, a discernment, when it's helpful and healing to focus on choice, and when it could be helpful or healing to just lean into the uncertainty and the complexity, right? And realize, I don't have control, and that's okay.
You know, to choose for me, I take time to do that, isn't it? So I have to, like, think about this side and the other side, and then really like decide, so if I go into this direction, what would happen then? If I choose the other side, what is the outcome on the other side? So that is a mental process in the first place, and it takes time, and you have to be able to think yourself clearly through it, isn't it? And that is what I'm saying. Is that possible always? Even for me, is it possible for everybody else? Can we always say that you are here in front of this, you know, street that goes mm-hmm. right or left, and now you are to take the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody is unable to do that, to make that choice even? What happens in a life in that situation?
Are you suggesting that we need to help them make a decision?
I don't know. Sometimes we are called to help. Maybe not make the decision directly, but like point out what would happen here and there, so there is more clarity then.
Well, when you're dealing with free creatures, you can't necessarily make decisions for them.
Right.
But boy, there are times where you would certainly like to, because you see people making a mess of their lives, and we think, great God in heaven, how can we get the message through to these people?
There are two words. I'm not going to try to be philosophical and try to explain how they're connected, but there are two words that I find really helpful in thinking through some of these things. You know, what is life? What does it mean to choose? One of the words you already mentioned a couple of times, and that is responsibility. That's what I hear in the writings of many of these Holocaust survivors who have wrestled with these questions, is that responsibility, right? And that's what Deuteronomy brings, is this dialogic understanding of covenant, that God is inviting the people to have more responsibility, right? That it's this back and forth. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I find really helpful, and this, it does come up in the Hebrew Bible, but I'm thinking also of really explicit summaries of this in the New Testament, and that is the idea of life and growth being inseparable. So you can't, you know, when you stop growing, you die. That sort of idea, and the life of that God is calling us to is a life of growing in maturity. And I find both of those really helpful, just to sit and think, what does it mean? What does it mean to choose life and to be responsible, right? To lean into that invitation that we find in these covenant renewal texts.
Well, in a sense, we could go back to that Deuteronomy 4 passage when the other people around said, isn't this astonishing?
Mm-hmm.
These laws, wonderful. And if we could see it with that perspective, then it certainly isn't a burden to take what God has given us and seek to follow those in order that we might have life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's certainly underlying the concepts in Deuteronomy that... This is a great opportunity to follow life, follow God.
Thank you so much. So this is the Deuteronomistic perspective about life in the here and now, and not in something that is beyond, which will be part of another lesson later on. But at this time, it is the life that God gives and where God is present and working in our lives as we live them on a daily basis. Many thanks to my conversation partners, Jody Washburn and Alden Thompson, to our program engineer, Samuel Schaffner, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.